Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This week on Pop Girls, we talk Lana's weird album title,
Azalea Down Under.
And do we need a free Britney again?
Woo! Hi, I'm Jordan.
I'm Charlie.
And I'm Aurelia. And welcome to Pop Gaze,
a pop culture podcast for postmodern queers.
The postmodern queers.
Yeah. We're back.
Hi. Hello.
Welcome to hell.
Guys, we won a fucking award.
Oh, yes, we did.
Silver, baby.
Yes.
We did it. You were there, Charlie. How was it?
Yeah, it was fun. It was a little bit random, if I'm honest. It would have been a lot nicer if you guys were there.
Yeah, we could have, like, gossiped and stuff.
Yeah, there was a lot of, like... So this is the Australian Podcast Awards for anyone unfamiliar.
Not aware with our win.
Yes. We won silver for best entertainment, which is very special.
Entertainment.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I went up to Sydney for the awards and it was fun, but it was a very like schmoozy, networky kind of thing. And they had like alcohol for everyone. And there were a lot of like podcast groups that were all there with their co-hosts getting trashed together.
Yeah,
and that
yeah.
seemed like fun, but yeah. being very sober and having the hellish time that I had with Jetstar.
Oh, I know.
Getting up there and back. I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to go back to my hotel room. I've had enough of everyone patting themselves on the back in this industry.
Yeah.
But it was very nice, especially with something like podcasting where it's like we just make these episodes and send it off into the void to have like, oh, people are listening.
Yeah. There is like absolutely.
So true.
And just also people listen like and considered us.
Yeah.
And they're like, this slaps.
Yeah, exactly. And I saw Sandra Sully and Osher Ginsburg. So
sorted.
Yeah, oh, and our mate, Brooke Blurton.
Brooke Blurton.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I actually spoke to Brooke yesterday at the NGV, which is so lovely.
Oh, my God. Okay, we need to get into it.
Yeah.
Tell us all about how last night was.
Okay, so last night I was the red carpet interviewer at the NGV Gala, which is like the Melbourne Met Gala.
Yes, truly.
It truly is. Just, you know, less exclusive because I was there, clearly.
No, Aurelia.
And they just brought the people over to me to talk to them. And this was for the Alexander McQueen exhibit opening. So in the last week I watched so many Alexander McQueen like runway videos, interviews with him. And when I started interviewing people though, like all of that information left my brain.
Of course.
And I had to like warm up to like talking to people. The first people arriving were all like the fancy donors of the NGV.
Oh, stressful.
And you know, just like high fashion people, this designer, I guess, who'd work with McQueen. And you know when there's people who kind of expect you to know who they are?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I know nothing, you know? I asked someone what it was like working with McQueen because I thought he did. And he was like, well, I actually never worked with him. Yeah. I'm sorry. He's like, but I did see him.
I'm a caterer. Yeah.
He's like, I did see him around in New York. And I'm like, okay, name dropping.
Oh, my God.
You're like, so you slept with Alexander McQueen, am I right?
So you were best friends. And then, you know, the cream of the crop of Australian entertainment Heartbreak High.
Love it.
Brooke Blurton.
Yes.
Baker Boy.
Troye Sivan.
Troye Sivan was there, but apparently contractually cannot speak to me.
Just you.
Just me. You couldn't give like an interview.
That's so funny.
And a whole bunch of other people who I think we couldn't grab everyone to like talk to me, but
yes,
I was on my feet for like 3 hours. I have the worst blisters of my life, but it was worth it.
You looked so beautiful as well.
Thank you.
And I was so proud of you because you were talking in your stories about self-styling, how you had reached out to people and in the end just had to roll with it.
It was so frustrating because I really hoped to like get dressed by someone because it's like an opportunity for them. I'm like all over the NGB Instagram, like wearing somebody's, like not them like gifting it to me, but just them giving it to me for the night. Because I spend like $600 on the outfit.
Jesus.
$100 on makeup. And that's like 50% or more of the fee that I get paid.
Yeah.
But it's an investment and I feel like it was worth it.
You look amazing.
I'm going to wear those things again.
Yeah,
like, of course, now that I've bought them. But
for any listeners who haven't seen Aurelia's outfit, go back to her store, her Insta, check out. And also Photo in the Age.
Yeah, true.
That was random.
That's so great.
Yeah, I had no idea until somebody sent it to me and I was like, okay, I'm going to like go and buy the Age. I went to 7-Eleven. Turns out they only sell Herald Sun and The Australian.
Oh, sounds about right.
Okay, that's fucked.
Yeah, did you get a shot in the Herald Sun?
Shot in the head from the Herald Sun.
Oh my God.
Fuck. What was the vibe? Like, were people expecting to do red carpety stuff as well?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. People were like dressed to the nines. There were so many headpieces. People really like brought it out. And the exhibit is really beautiful. And yet I had, you know, lots of like delicious finger food. Like I think they stepped it up with the catering.
Stunning.
And Baker Boy was really fun. And at the end of his set, they dropped all of this like confetti from the roof.
Baker Boy's incredible live.
Yeah.
He's just like living his dream. He's also doing fucking curry as well.
Yeah.
It was sick.
I'm nodding like I know, but I thought Baker Boy was a caterer. Sounds yum.
When I was interviewing him on the carpet and I was like, what are you excited about tonight? He was like, performing. I can't wait. He was like so excited and enthusiastic, which was like good to see.
Yeah,
he's indigenous.
Oh, cool.
He plays the didgeridoo as well.
Oh my God. Oh yeah, I think I love seeing him around. Yeah.
He's so talented and like so fun. And like, you know, sometimes people like act like they're too cool to be somewhere. And he just like showed his joy really openly, which was like a nice change because
It's nice. It's actually, I feel like it's really rare for musos to be extroverts because I feel like they're so focused on like their own shit and getting stuff done and like poetry when it comes to and like I feel like in Australia you have such tall poppy syndrome, like it's very rare like to have a like fun vibing like musician like Baker Boy. It's not like, not to shit on any other musician, I just mean like it's an industry you fuckers, but it's an industry in the best way that invites like people who are a little bit more like self like not self-focused, I mean like
introspective,
you know, thoughtful and stuff like that. Yeah. Whereas like what we do is like disgusting.
Yeah.
No art, tasteless.
Yeah. Here's my trauma, but it's funny. Please laugh.
Tits and teeth, but like the worst kind.
Speaking of music, we had the Spotify Wrapped last week.
Yes.
How were you guys with your haul?
Honestly, it's like some of the songs never change for me. I'm that person. Like,
yeah. Because I listened to my top songs of last year playlist almost on repeat. And so I just keep affirming the same songs.
Absolutely. I do the same thing. But December is like your blank slate because it doesn't count.
Yeah, that's true. I famously, only because I don't shut up about it, deleted Spotify at the start of last year in about February because Neil Young told me to. And I... and then Joni Mitchell was going to leave. I don't know if she ended up doing it, but like we'd just come out of the 2021 lockdown and I'd spent many showers listening to Harvest.
Harvest Moon?
Yeah. Oh my God. Fucking crying and listening to Joni Mitchell being like, I could drink a case of you.
Oh my God.
And just being like, they're leaving, I can't do it. And then I moved to Apple Music and I don't think that either of them featured in my top artists at all. Like, after all that, anyway, so I'm in Apple Music and my top song was, my top artist was Britney Spears, which is unsurprising because I did do two lip sync battles, so I listened to Britney Spears a lot. My top album was Meg Thee Stallion's this year, also because I just fucking love Not Nice. It's my pump up song where she's like, fuck it, bitch, I'm not nice. Mean. Listen to that. Just to like, what is it? Validate if I've been really gossipy and gross. And then my top song was surprising. It was Toy Soldiers, which is like an 80s song that's like Toy Soldiers. I think Eminem did a version of it later on. Anyway, it was a funny mix.
Yeah, you truly have the most diverse mix. Because for me, it's all like kind of adjacent.
Yeah, you for know, sure.
Like, I don't know, SZA, Steve Lacy, Solange, Beyonce.
Love it.
Krungbin, like all of the ones that are like kind of come up together anyways.
Yeah. I mean, mine a bit similarly. I just tend to have two main pools. There's like the theatery crap and then there's the like Lil Nas, Miley, kind of stuff.
You get it.
But then like every now and then, like my third top artist this year was Andrew Garfield because I listened to Tick Tick Boom so much. It's like how weird that Andrew Garfield is on my like music playlist. But
and also dog music, relaxing dog music, rain music, all of that bullshit. I have to like find a way to not have it dirty my Spotify Wrapped.
I'm sure there's an app, but the effort to simply download is not worth it.
I wish there was like an opt this song out.
Like this is option. For my dog.
Yeah.
My friend's number one artist was like fan in other room. Like other people, like my top song was Rain on an Irish Street.
Tinnitus emergency package.
Another thing that surprised me was seeing the like numbers I'd listened. Because I listened to like 73,000 minutes.
Mm.
And then everyone else who shared that was like, someone was like, oh my God, I listened to this so much. And it was like 69. And then some folks were like, 73, that's a lot. And I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I have issues. I need to listen to things so I can do stuff.
You also work from home as well, right? Yeah, like you need to have something in the back. I have music all the time.
Yeah.
I can't.
Otherwise, I go crazy.
Yeah.
I cannot be alone with my thoughts.
No.
I think if someone doesn't listen to music that much, I'm like, literally, what? How do you feel?
Like, yeah, like, are you thinking? Yeah. Like, what's going on in
I feel
brain?
Like I had a real, like, and we appreciate you all listening, but I feel like I had a real music year this year. Like, I'd listened to so many fucking podcasts the last couple of years, and I love podcasts, but I really, like, podcasts are dead. They're dying. They're out. I'm done with talking. But I feel like I've like really went back into like just, I was like, nah, I feel like listening to music. Whereas previously, I don't know how you guys feel about it, but previously I've been like, I want somebody to chat to me on my walk or on my drive and stuff like that.
Maybe because we are now socializing again. Like we had 2 years of being so like locked up and away from people. We needed that.
No, I definitely go through podcast phases, like when Tamara's working overseas and she'd like, our time zones were opposite. So I'd speak to her like in the morning and at night. And then in the day working at home, I'd literally talk to no one. Yes. I'd just be listening to like podcasts, but mainly ones that are like crazy stories or ones that it's like you have to listen to the whole series.
Yeah.
Because it's a story being unveiled. And I'm like, shivering and crying over like the stories. And then I'd be in like a really deep podcasting hole for 2 weeks and then I get out of it and listen to music again.
Yes, a little chaser. Yeah. When you get these weird like parasocial relationships, like I feel like there's, before I started comedy, I was a bit of a comedy like fan and I would listen to a lot of comedy podcasts. And then when I started getting into the scene and then meeting people that I used to listen to, that I just had to stop. Because I was like, I know too fucking much about you. Like, you know what I mean? And like, I feel uncomfortable that like now we're not like, not on the same level or anything like that. But you know, when you're just like, nah, I can't do it anymore.
And do you ever get like people in your life refer to things that you haven't told them, but they listen to a podcast that you're on so they know?
Not most of my friends have really gone out of their way to let me know that they will never listen to my podcast, which I stand by.
My family keep asking me, especially with us, like stuff like the award, where they're like, oh, what is your podcast? And like my aunts, we had a wedding recently. My aunts were asking like, oh, how can I find your podcast? And I'm like, oh, it's not really for
I know.
You guys. It's not for
I'm
you.
Like, it's not like this is like filthy or anything like that. I love the feeling of being unfettered.
Yeah,
and I don't want to like sort of self-monitor thinking.
Totally.
But I guess as I'm getting older, and like I'm noticing this with like my content with stand up as well. Like I am caring less and less. It's just kind of like, you know what? That's me. I'm an adult. Like who gives a shit anymore?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. It's like you've chosen to come here. This absolutely. Is what
At
it
this
is.
Point, it's your problem. Sorry. Yeah.
But I do, to answer your question about like, do I have people sometimes like talk about content that I brought up? I don't necessarily have it with the podcast, but I have it with stand up and I forget that like that's a thing. Like that what I put out there, like some people are like receiving, because to me it's just like, oh, I'm just doing a 5-minute set and then it's done and then I don't think about it anymore.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It's like I've just told them some stories about my life and I forget that.
And now they're referencing it back to me and I'm like, how the fuck do you know that?
Yeah.
Also me like spilling deeply personal things on the internet.
Yeah.
24 really? Hours a day. And I'm like, how do you know anything about me?
It's so someone told me that like my stand-up feels like a confessional. And I was like, oh, okay, that makes
it
sense.
Does.
And then I was like thinking, I was like, oh, sure. I guess I haven't heard that before. And then I was thinking about it. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ. I really just let it all go.
Yeah.
And then when I come up, especially because I think I'm justified in feeling this way. I'm sure you guys feel this as well. Whenever I talk about like sexual stuff or like gross things on stage, and then I'll come off and the last thing I fucking want anyone to do is to talk about that with me.
Yeah.
Or to think that we're on the same page with that kind of stuff. I'm like, no, like it's a very different vibe being on stage talking
about
that.
It's almost a persona.
It absolutely is.
Like it's true, but it's kind of not.
Yeah.
Oh, I hate when people ask, is that true? It's like everything is like true. Obviously we have to like zhuzh some stuff, make it more performative. But once we've told like a joke, you know, 50, 100 times to different audiences, it sort of takes on its own thing. Like it becomes like the story. I don't know. I just like just suspend your disbelief, roll with it, have fun.
Somebody once asked me if the lesbian thing was true.
Oh my God.
I think it was my first chocofugger. It was a dude and he was like talking to me. And then he eventually like, I was like, oh, maybe he's been trying to get this in the whole time. And that this was when I kind of first, it was within my first like year. Mm. And then he was like, yeah, cool. Yeah. And so that lesbian story, is that true? And I was like, yeah. And lesbian story was me simply saying it. And then he walked away and I was like, well, see ya.
What kind of psycho do you think I am?
I know. Do you know what I think it was? I think it's because I remember the way I dressed that day and it was like pretty femme and cute and I had little like plaits and stuff like that. And he was probably just like, that simply cannot be a dyke.
Yeah.
Yeah, she doesn't like pussy.
No.
Does not compute.
So funny. It's so dumb. But yeah, it is funny with podcasts and stuff like that. Even when people come up, which we like love, when people come up and say that they listen to Pop Gays, I'm like, I'm immediately like, oh, you know, like you said,
I'm like panicking.
Yeah. I'm like, I love it, but I'm also like, oh no. What have I said? And there's so many hours of content.
Yeah. This is our 59th episode, I think. That's pretty crazy.
That is pretty crazy.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Proud.
That's crazy. Is that, 68 is 69 with a pregnant woman, person.
What?
Pregnant person. You know, whether, you know, 69?
Yeah.
But 68 is the same thing, but they're pregnant.
I love that.
I have never known that until you just said that.
It's good.
It's like those bingo call outs at drag nights. It's what is it?
Legs 11.
Yeah, it was like 69, up the bum, no babies or something. Almost like weird.
I feel like all of them you could be like 46, up the bum, no babies.
Just a good mantra. Really good word.
7, up the bum.
I don't necessarily have a segue, but speaking of butt sex, I guess. Azalea Banks.
Oh my God.
Was meant to be coming to Melbourne last night, but pulled out or like.
Apparently there were visa issues.
Yes.
I think the Melbourne show was first.
Yeah.
And then the Sydney Brisbane ones were later in the week.
Oh my God.
So those are going ahead as scheduled, but because she couldn't get into Australia in time, she couldn't make it to the Melbourne one in time.
So when did it get cancelled though?
2 hours before the event last night.
No.
And apparently like her management or whoever the hell deals with it knew about this obviously.
Yeah.
Well in advance. And they sent out in their email announcement to all the ticket holders being like, don't worry Melbourne, we are postponing it until next weekend because she's going to, yeah, as you said, Sydney and Brisbane. And then yeah, they're like, well, she can just come back next weekend. But then she put up on her story.
Oh, I love her transparency.
Just being like, I'm not coming to Melbourne. I've got shit to do.
It's so funny. I feel like people almost like, okay, they're probably like pissed off that they didn't get to see her live. But I feel like part of the experience of seeing, of booking a ticket for Azalea is the chance that she yes. will cancel.
It's
and
a gamble.
You live for that.
And then she'll be like late. Then she'll abuse you while you're on stage.
Yes. Yep. That's what you're there for. People like really want to sub to her. Yeah.
You're and there for the abuse.
I don't know anyone who had tickets for Azalea Banks who didn't continue their night as if they weren't seen.
Yeah.
Everybody fucking had a good time. I don't think based on all the stories, literally everyone I know that I was like, I thought they had been to see Azalea Banks until today when you told me that she'd canceled. Because I was at work. I was like, everyone's fucking partying. And there were so many people.
Yes.
Everyone's at Poof Doof, like
it's so fun anyway.
I saw like a Vogue battle happening at Poof Doof. It's like, well, I'm glad the gays still turned it
was
out.
Was she supposed to perform at Poof Doof?
Yeah.
At Poof Doof.
Yes.
That's so funny. Because all she does is gay clubs now and she just gets up there and says, I hate gays.
She's such a random.
But like that's her whole audience is gays.
Yeah. That's it.
That's it.
But she, okay, so here's the thing with Azalea. She's obviously not a hero. We're not here to. But I feel like she and correct me if I'm wrong, and listeners, like, tune in. I don't know where I am at in this chat, but I was talking to a friend of mine and we were just being like, it's so funny because, like, she's so blatantly homophobic, yada, yada, yada. And then my friend was saying that, like, her criticism of gay people started out with gay cis white men stealing black women's, like, vernacular and, like, language and claiming it as their own and, like, not and like being disrespectful to black women in their day-to-day lives, but then being like, slay mama, like all this shit. And so that's where it began, but I think that it kind of.
Oh, it definitely has warped.
Totally. And like, no heroes, no villains. But I feel like I was like, yeah, with Azalea Banks, she's like Jackie Lambie, you know, where you're like, oh, yes, yes. And then, oh, no. Yeah. Like, I'm with you. Oh, don't say that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I think it's important to have that like critical lens on things and also just like the way we want to sort of shoebox people of color as well. Like even I saw this someone posting about when people send like gifts of like particularly like Nene from like Real Housewives of Atlanta and like you know just like people being quick or being like quote unquote like sassy or whatever and they'll use that as
the reaction
as their reaction to stuff and they only ever use usually gifts of like black American women and that kind of playing into this like unhealthy kind of like stereotype that.
It's like almost digital blackface.
Yeah, that's the word. That's it. Yeah.
Like people, what pisses me off to no avail when like pale white people use like dark skin emoji.
I was just going to say.
I'm like, oh my God, can you please like just use the emoji that matches you? If it's you like reacting to like peace hands, but you're sending me black peace hands, but you're white. I'm like, what?
I hate that.
Do you think you're black or like what's going on?
A friend that does that and I thought at one point I was like maybe it's just incidental like maybe it was just like that was one of the emojis that they randomly selected but then I noticed that like ongoing from that point it's like no you've got different emojis that all you've selected that skin tone. It's like you are white like why are you doing this
so funny.
Because like you deeply know the cringe. Like men or women or people emojis or the kids emojis you can all turn them into different colors now with their faces and if you wouldn't use like the face. Why are you using the hands? Because I feel like it's usually hands.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I was talking to a friend of mine about this because we were saying the same thing. And then like we were both like, we just haven't edited the emoji. And then we were like, oh, hold on. Is that because we like take whiteness as the given circumstance rather than like
the default?
Yeah.
The default emoji is yellow.
Yeah, truly.
It's the Simpsons.
Yeah.
But it is funny. This is, again, the University of TikTok, but I thought it was an interesting thought piece of, you know, how like as white people a lot of the time, and I do this a lot, is being like, oh, we have no culture, blah, blah, blah. And that's actually like quite, it's like very erasing. I've got no words. It's a Sunday morning, guys. it's implying that whiteness is the given circumstance and everything else is like a spurn off from that or is different to that. Whereas like acknowledging
is exotic.
And especially different. I think as like, I don't know how you feel, Charlie, but like, especially as like white Australians as like colonizers too. I'm like, no. I feel like it's more important that I like, understand where I'm from.
Yeah, we do have culture and some of it is problematic.
Absolutely. Truly. Yeah. And just being like
it's verging on I don't see race kind of metric. I also think as well, and this kind of loops back, I suppose, to stuff like what Azalea Banks has kind of like championed.
Who's that now our hero?
But it kind of has become a bit of a zeitgeist, especially like on Twitter and that kind of stuff, with people like Azalea Banks who say, like, you know, she says, like, you know, I hate you faggots and this kind of stuff. And then like people...
Why am I laughing at that?
Because it is like, it's funny. It's very funny.
It is funny, but like there's also a part of it where like it kind of like becomes this... like glutton for punishment thing where people are kind of like, she's not wrong. She's not wrong. Like, oh yeah, we hate faggots as well. Like we hate sort of dumb, stupid twinks and all this kind of stuff. And it's like, is it just using these things as like a way to kind of like, I don't know, like sort of like chastise ourselves to make right with some kind of like privilege that we're experiencing or something like that, which is strange to be talking about being gay as being a privilege, but I suppose we're talking about like male gays or white male gays and their experience.
And especially ones in like kind of progressive cities where being gay is like not as much of an issue.
Yeah.
Like being gay in the country is very different from being gay in the city, right? Yeah. And like if you've grown up in like a progressive family in a progressive city and you are white and male, especially and cis, I think you do have privileges that other people in the LGBTQIA plus community don't have.
Definitely.
And that like sometimes are overlooked really easily because male privilege is still a thing, where again, this is like TikTok and Twitter coming out again, where it's like somebody calling out like, oh, and this has happened to me as well, where like, especially a few years ago when I was going out to clubs more, where like a gay guy would like smack you in the ass or like grab your tits or like compliment you in like a sexist way.
Yeah.
That's still kind of misogynistic or like something that like they probably wouldn't do unless they were like very obviously like camp and queer and like, oh, I'm obviously not like sexually interested in you when I'm touching your boobs. But I'm like, well, I still didn't give you permission to touch my fucking boobs. Like,
consent is not erased.
Just because we're not going to fuck. Yeah. Like, it doesn't mean that like, you can.
Truly, like, this is deep. I've only been like harassed and groped by gay men. It's so wild. But and also at the time I was like, yeah, do it. Girl, I love it. Like, but also didn't feel like I had that because I think it's that thing where it's the same as like it can be used in so many different things as well. But like this, particularly when I was like studying and stuff like that, a lot of the misogyny and like things upset, like people will be like, there's this idea of like, this sassy gay guy can say whatever they want. And for survival, a lot of gay cis men will be like, I'm just going to take on that role so that at least I have friends, you know?
Yeah.
And then you can see, I think that's really shifted in the last few years, but I can see there are some people I know who've kind of, I know that they were using that as like a survival tactic too, but at the same time, I'm like, people will tell you to lose weight. They'll sort of comment on what you're wearing and stuff like that. Yeah. And I think it's this also this like
overcompensation.
Yeah. Absolutely. And then there's this like idea that this like proximity to femininity means that they've experienced the same misogyny that like, and this is it, that cis women like growing up through that and stuff like that.
A sense of like supposed sisterhood. And it's like in some ways maybe, but these are not, these are apples and oranges, you know? Like,
yeah, because it's very clear that we are all victims to patriarchy and, you know, gay men, I think, feel that more than straight men because the patriarchy is so oppressive to us in the same way of like, don't be too girly, like don't be this, like being a girl or doing girly things is weak. And then it like just translates into associating with, you know, being like, oh, I'm like being called girly this whole time, so of course I'm going to hang out with the girls and like, you know, be their friend. And that's like a cool thing until you're drunk at the club and they forget all about that.
It's interesting. I love that. It is.
And I feel like this kind of like way of pulling it apart and looking at it is a more healthy sort of contextual look at it. And like my personal kind of like ick with that trend that I was talking about of like the whole sort of like whether it's coming from non-gay men, people saying, you know, stuff like faggot, which is an irk for me personally.
I would kill a straight man saying faggot.
Yeah. But also spiritually. But even queer men sort of doing that whole like, oh, you know, she's not wrong. Like, gay men are stupid and annoying and like, fuck those faggots. And kind of like trying, like, I understand that it's like, yeah, I'm appropriating this thing. And I'm trying to kind of make good with those exact systemic things we were talking about. But it's like, just talk about that. Don't like do this like pretend kind of like admonishment of yourself because it's like that.
Azalea Banks.
It was like people saying stuff
like appropriation
and it being the not doing
and it being it's not doing the same stuff. I know exactly where your brain is right now, and and we're not helping. We're like, it's gone from brain.
Like, I don't know. Something else I saw on TikTok was this discourse around the word fishy.
Oh yeah!
Can we talk about
Canada's
that?
Drag Race?
Yeah, Drag Race. And
either of you been watching it?
Sorry, no.
Yeah.
I don't have the time.
I haven't.
We've tapped out of. I think Aurelia and I. Yeah.
I'm like, it would be nice if maybe there's like a recap on YouTube. I can just watch as a season recap of most recent 20 countries
it's
Drag Race
it.
Is in. But the fishy discourse was interesting from what I saw on TikTok.
So. It all kicked off in a recent episode. Victoria Scone, who's a UK queen, because this is Canada versus the world. So they have like a lot of Canadian queens and then some from UK, some from Down Under, some from where else? Oh, the US. And Victoria Scone is a cis woman and she's the first on the Drag Race franchise to be... Yeah, like platformed in that way. So it's a pretty big deal. And she has just been kicking ass. And she recently did a drag king look on the runway, which was amazing and worth a look if you haven't seen Victoria Scone's Fabio look. It's so fucking funny and good. But yeah, she's been really using her platform to talk about misogyny in the queer and specifically drag communities and the need for more representation of like drag kings and different forms of like gender fuck drag, which is awesome and amazing. And part of that discussion was she said to another queen, were you aware when in one of your verses for one of their song challenges about using the word fishy is actually kind of can be offensive? And this queen was like, no, I didn't know that. I just thought it meant like being like a woman sort of thing, or at least it has been like that for a lot of years in the drag circles. And Victoria was saying, you know, a lot of that stems from misogynistic roots of like, you know, women smelling like fish or something like that.
Yeah.
And the idea of like vaginas being gross and that kind of like gay male humor of like, oh my God, can't stand vaginas or whatever.
Yeah.
And there is like a duality of like fishy can also mean like an illusion, like something is suspicious, like, oh, that person is fishy as in suspicious.
Yeah.
But yeah, they were just talking about that. And then of course there were some shitheads on Twitter coming out being like, I'm going to fucking use that word. I'm not going to like be part of this like woke parade, blah, blah, blah kind of crap. And it's like, if someone is saying that a word like that isn't comfortable for them and they don't want you to use it, like just don't fucking use it. What is it to you? Yeah.
And honestly, I feel like as we're moving away from the whole Drag Race is only for
cis men,
because there's trans women on Drag Race.
Yeah.
Not that matters, but that it matters whether they're trans or not. Like, you know, it's just good to have different people on there with different gender identities and different, for lack of a better term, body parts and being like, vaginas are gross, when some people pay a lot of money and go through a lot of trauma to get the gender reaffirming surgery they want. And then to use fishy, I mean, I don't want to say that they feel a certain way about it. I have to feel a certain way about it, but it kind of makes it be like, oh, well, that's gross and that smells bad, or all these things you get told if you're socialized as female, especially as a teenager, that are like so scary to be like, oh my God, something is wrong with my pussy.
Literally.
Like years, so many years I spent being like, something is wrong with my pussy. I need to get this fixed.
And it's not like, like, people with vaginas don't fucking cop that from like
everywhere,
especially from like, I mean, like if we're talking about like, for example, like it can be anyone with a vagina, but in particular like heterosexual women who cop it the worst, honestly.
Yeah.
But like it's not like they're surrounded by men who are like obsessed with vagina. It's like actually the most like self-conscious thing that people usually experience is that, and the way that like straight men talk about it and stuff like that, it's like you're fucking copying abuse from all angles. So this idea that like, oh, we can call it fishy or whatever because we aren't interested in vagina, it's like, yeah, but even the people who are like fucking us, like if I can say, like, are telling us how disgusting it is. So it's this like weird, like it's a bigger conversation, and it's like interesting. And it's also like, it's like just circling back to a point you made before, where it's like, oh, if you smell fishy, then you're like passable as a woman, like you seem like a woman or whatever. And then I'm like, but in this day and age, vagina doesn't mean woman.
Yeah. Like, exactly. You know, yeah. That's what I meant. Like it doesn't, your genitals don't translate to your gender. No. So why are we still using it as a describer?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
It's interesting. I think it's like, and people are so up in arms about like just nuanced conversation about shit. Like you're allowed to, I'm not going to like stop in my tracks and like have a go at someone who uses fishy. It's not going to ruin my day, but I am going to, if the circumstances are right, I'll have a chat about it. And probably people might walk away and be like, oh, I might not use fishy anymore.
Yeah. But you also, because there is nuance to it, you know, like it's not used in a derogatory way. It is, whether the effect is derogatory is a different story, but it is a compliment. Like to say, when queens say you are fishy or I'm fishy, it's a good thing. Like it's a hype up thing.
Yeah.
And so I guess there is for some queens this sense of like it's a celebratory thing. But, you know, if you have a queen like Victoria Scon saying, I would rather you didn't, that's something I'm uncomfortable with, then we got to listen.
Yeah, it's so true.
It is interesting. It's just so, it's the more offensive thing is how fucking arced up people get when you say like one thing that's like, oh, actually, you know, the origins of that is kind of a bit sexist or a bit racist. Happy. And they're like, oh, can I not enjoy myself?
No, and then they like double down on using it and being like, now I'm going to use it even more. I'm going to be even more offensive.
It's like, oh man, it's not even like, whatever.
Yeah.
You got to pick your battles.
It's telling a child, don't pick up that toy.
Yeah.
And then that's all they want.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. We truly do not grow.
I refuse.
We're like, there's no evolvement.
It's so wild. Oh, I want to talk about, if you guys have seen, we talked about it in our little group chat. Join the Patreon. No, we don't have one. We don't have one. One day.
To join our group chat.
To join the group chat, guys.
You actually can't contribute, but yeah. You can sit quietly and
actually,
watch.
We all would be in hell if you joined our group chat. Actually, so you cannot join. No, I'm sorry.
I cannot see the light of day.
But we were talking about this bizarre post that Britney did about Jamie Lynn, and now there's talks about Britney needing to be freed again.
No, legit. It is not her posting.
No,
honestly,
that's not her.
That was fishy.
Suspicious.
Something's off. Like, why is she making this whole post dedicated to her sister who literally tried to steal her songs?
Yeah.
And did all that, like, conservative shit to her.
And
to,
she was literally like talking shit about a week ago. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I
just want to get some of her posts since then have been like, it's not her cadence, you know?
No.
Because she has a very particular way of speaking, you know, we're used to these like paragraphs of, and like,
posted an hour ago and it's like a paparazzi shot of her eating nuts. And she's like, I'll always eat nuts every day. I love nuts.
None of them are current photos. They're all from
2003.
They're all from years ago. And some of the stories where her boyfriend, husband, whatever the hell he is, has been putting up stories. There's one where it's literally like, if you slow it down, it's like a cutout of Britney.
Yes. I saw that one. I saw that. It's so creepy.
Something really weird is going on.
Yeah. And she also, like, her name, like her bio name on Instagram is Channel 8.
Yeah.
What?
What is that?
People have literally been saying, is she even alive? Like, when is the last time that we have seen, like, and then she was like, oh, I've deleted my Insta like 4 or 5 times in the past like couple weeks because I keep slipping on the accidentally delete button. It's like, it's a four-stage process.
No, you really
process.
Have to do that.
Instagram's like, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure? Please don't go. I'm begging you. Like, you can't accidentally delete. And then everyone's like, of all the things on Insta to sort of like accidentally slip into, wouldn't you think like going live would be one of them? Like, if she's got this true free reign of her cyber presence, going live would be the first thing you'd imagine she'd want to do. But we've never seen her go live.
And she loved lives.
She did.
Like more than life itself.
And, and she was doing all these like little voice memo things that she would upload to YouTube where she was just doing confessionals and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because she was like, I can't be bothered. I don't want to do interviews. Like I don't want to do, I'm not going to worry about getting paid and stuff like that. And she's talking about Jamie Lynn, about her father and her mom and like her boys and stuff like that. It's very strange.
The stuff about her sons makes me so sad.
I know.
It's a weird circumstance.
That is so hard dealing with everything she has on top of also raising kids then being in the public eye with people criticizing her every move, not only as like a person existing in the pop culture sphere, but a mother.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to go through that.
Oh my God, guys. Did you see this week about the journalist that was in Qatar, the queer journalist that like mysteriously died?
Yeah.
Oh, did he pass out and then he died?
Yeah. Like they were like, I think he had like bronchitis or something like that. But it was like he was like just the week before he was like calling out all the like human rights abusers.
And he wore rainbow to the games as
and
well.
And was like, banned from entering and had already like kind of like caused some ripples. And everyone's like, what the fuck is going on?
Do you reckon he was murdered?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean, allegedly.
Oh my God. Well, talking about other political prisoners, Brittany Griner, the WNBA basketball star who had been in Russian prison for 9 months.
So wild.
Just been.
That was the craziest sentence.
Yeah. Honestly. So she has been in prison in Russia for like weed possession because in her checked luggage, there was like a small vial of like vape juice, I think. And the actual contents of like THC were very low. And I don't even think it was full. So like, I don't know, you know.
What is the fucking point? If they don't have enough to like, also like it's weed, like come on. But also like if it's not enough to deal, if it's like a little bit of vape oil.
Yeah. And also like not to say this happened, but like maybe it was a mistake. I've definitely packed things where I've gone through security and I was like, oh my God. I did not mean to take this.
I flew from Australia to Vancouver, and I got there, and in my handbag, like that I had on me in like one of the little secret zippers,
was a boogie board.
Was a boogie board of full drugs. Of weed. No, but was like half a joint that I must have like butted out at a party, put in there, zipped it up, forgot about it. And then I'm rummaging through trying to find something, and I found that, and I was like, I could have been, my ass could have been torn apart by TSA. Yes. Like, and it's also just like, it's in that situation, it's obviously fucking homophobia. It's,
yeah. And that's also, I mean, Russia just playing their cards, because they did a prisoner swap with Brittany Griner against like one of the most notorious arms dealers in the world, which is like not an even swap. They also released an American teacher that had been in prison. So it was like two Americans against this one Russian, but this guy is truly like awful. He has a nickname that's like the Merchant of Death.
Wow.
Which is like Marvel.
The Merchant of Death versus a WNBA player.
Yeah.
Truly.
With like not even like a quarter of a joint of weed in oil form.
Oh my God, that poor chick. Fucking 9 months.
9 months. She had these like long dreadlocks, which would have taken years to like grow and maintain, that she shaved off because washing her hair and having the dreads dry took too long, and she was getting sick in Russian prison, so she shaved her head.
Oh my fucking God. Like, really?
Yeah.
It's...
Yeah, so there were like multiple layers. She was gay, she was black, and she was American, which is like the three worst...
The trifecta.
The trifecta for Russia. Like, we hate this bitch on multiple levels.
Oh my God. Well, speaking of, you know, homophobic regimes, there has
been... It's been a really lighthearted episode.
Yeah.
We're like tackling the hard
stuff. Just want a segue on homophobic regimes. Yeah. Go on, Charlie.
Cultural correspondence here.
Yeah.
We had a bit of a neo-Nazi surge here in Melbourne this week with the fucking Proud Boys picketing the queer event in Melbourne. Have you guys been following this?
Yes, I have. It's fucked. It's so chat. But I also there's a real rise in the alt-right in Victoria in particular, and especially since like now the hippies are neo-Nazis as well, because they were anti-vax, and then the other anti-vaxxers were Nazis. So now you see these like anti-vax marches with a pride flag and the swastika, and you're like, oh, cool. Interesting. But it was so sad because they were children.
Yeah.
And I think
it was a youth event.
Exactly. Yeah. Someone posted on Instagram, and I think I'm right in, I'm not going to say the performer's name because I think that they've been through enough, but one of the performers or one of the people booked or organizing it, I can't remember who was involved, is Jewish, and that's how, and they've been targeted many times by neo-Nazis. And so it's just like, it's fucking anti-Semitism, and then of course like homophobia as well as a result. But it's just so unfair that this person is just trying to live their life, and then they're being stalked and targeted by Nazis,
it's
who
wild.
Then shut down an entire event for children. Because there's nothing that they like, because they don't want kids to go through to be vilified by that, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Making badges, doing like a crafts table. Like, come on.
Like, so fucking dumb. Like the
And they say wear the snowflakes.
Like. Yeah. Me. Oh, just seeing this pop up again and again and again for like anything that's like moving us forward and like wanting to go back to how things were, because I think there's a real resurgence of people wanting to be traditional.
Mm.
And I'm like, the life, like average human lifespan was like 40 years. You want to go back to how things were and like die in your 30s and 40s? Like, I don't understand the whole like, things were better in the past. No, they weren't. Wake the fuck up.
Absolutely. And people have literally always thought that. Like,
In
the 70s, you would have been the person who wanted to be the 40s. You know what I
Absolutely.
Mean?
Absolutely.
Like, it never, it's like a relentless cycle. And it's, people who went to the protest, because I think like hundreds of queer people, adult queers showed up last minute, which is amazing. And there were like four of these fucking Proud Boys there, whatever, neo-Nazis. And everyone was just like, the divorced dad vibe was fucking like so yeah. insane. Like, what are you doing? Did you have fucking something fucking better to do? Like,
yeah.
I always wonder like how people who protest outside abortion clinics, people who have time to protest shit like this, like, what do you do for work? Like, how do you have the time?
How do you have the time? And also, like, aren't you, wouldn't Jesus be happier if you, like, made bread for someone?
Yeah,
like, I don't know. Like,
make some bread.
I don't know one personally.
I don't know. Like, look after the homeless Nazis.
Yes. Literally. Well, I saw this TikTok of this guy.
There's got to be some.
I don't know.
So this guy on TikTok who was going to, outside an abortion clinic, there were all these like picketers, and he was going up to them being like, okay, cool. So you really value like human life here. There are, you know, this many thousand kids currently needing adoption. So I've got the adoption papers here. You want to go for it? And they were like, no, it's not like that. That's not the point.
Yes. I saw that someone literally said, just leave me alone.
Yeah.
It's like the irony.
It's so funny. And like, and he was like, what do you think people should do if they can't care for the child? And they're always like, adoption is a beautiful option for people. And he's like, oh, how many kids have you adopted?
Yeah.
And they're like, myself, none.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, and you? And like, none of them had adopted kids or fostered or done anything. So it's like, yes. You don't care about kids.
You don't give
kids.
A shit about kids.
Ugh. Yeah. And then they show up at fucking the Pride Center. These kids have already had to like make their way to St. Kilda, which is
a terrific
enough, you know?
Yeah.
First they get the invite, they get excited. They've already been disappointed, the asshole of the city. And then
we had to go to regional Melbourne.
We had to go to St. Kilda. it's very unfortunate. And I hope that I also hope that maybe, like, no shade to any organizers, but I hope that they, in the future, when they're preparing events targeted at young queer people, they have a better security detail.
Yeah.
Because I don't, by the looks of it, I don't think that they really had much planned, hence why they had to cancel it. So just think ahead.
It's great. But it's also crazy to be like, okay, we have 100 queer kids arriving at 6 p.m. Make sure there's 50 people guarding the door.
But
like,
that's
with guns.
Truly. Yeah. But that's what minus 18 do. They have like what they call the Rainbow Brigade.
Because I did the queer formal and that was very well organized and like very safe.
Because
cute.
People suck.
Yeah.
They do.
And you really have to prepare for that.
I love minus 18 and those kind of things.
Yeah. They're so good at that.
They're really beautiful. It's just like a really nice thing for, especially for rural queers, like you were saying before, Aurelia, like it's so isolating.
Yeah.
And to have that,
not that many opportunities. Like, I remember there was, did you ever go to IQ?
No.
There was like
Barry's?
Yeah, I think so.
I used to go to Barry's.
Yeah. But there was specifically a night called IQ that was for under 22 or something like that. Like,
I would have been to that one. Yeah.
And
that's my first club.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And it was really rare to have that kind of like exploratory, you know, chance to just kind of meet other young people in an environment that isn't diving full bore into the like clubbing scene, which can be extremely full on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or fucking The Peel, you know.
Oh my gosh.
Like some of the options that were there when I was like sort of like coming up through the ranks. It was very much like, you know, not all queers love or thrive in a like heavy, you know, nightclub space.
An over sexualized space.
Yeah.
Because you could imagine, it's actually really nice that they sort of cap it at 22.
Yes.
Which seems so young from our perspective, but rightly so.
Yes. Yeah.
There's some fucking creeps who would be like, oh, let me go get some freshly outed people who haven't got the frontal lobes formed yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still remember my first time at the Peel walking, because the way that it used to be, probably still is, I haven't been there since, but it was like,
we should go back together.
Yes, we should. Is like you walk through the bar first, that's like a sort of like long strip with like on either side there's chairs facing in, and then that's how you have to get through to go to the dance floor. But there was just these like older bears sitting along the thing and feeling like literal prey.
Oh
like walking to the dance floor.
Oh my god, it's so young.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, it's so give this a lot. Yeah, it's pretty wild.
Yeah. In total random segue news, have you seen that Lana Del Rey has that weird title?
Have you heard about the tunnel under Ocean Boulevard?
Wait, what's it called?
It's let me tell you about there's this tunnel under the Ocean Boulevard is what it's called.
That's the album title.
Oh my god, what? I'm sorry, that's too long.
Yes. Well, she also did what's her longest title? It's like, I'll look it up. Keep chatting. I gotta find it because it's so good.
I do love Lana Del Rey. I have like a soft spot for that problematic, like, daddy's girl.
Yeah.
I don't know, like glamorizing kind of low-key abusive relationships.
I know, this is really sick part. Like, I'll watch the Ride video clip over and over in my darkest points. I might be fucking crazy, but at least I'm free.
But also, I actually don't believe that is her reality, and that's why she's so good at, like, making it. Because like, if she was actually in that situation, she wouldn't be able to make music.
Exactly.
Wasn't her, like, real name, like, Rebecca Blink? Just something very not.
Isn't her name? What is it? It's Lizzie. Her name's Lizzie. Yes. Someone.
Lizzie Grant.
Yeah, Lizzie Grant. Because when she does something fucked, they're like, that's Lizzie. People are like, oh, Lizzie's coming out.
Absolutely.
The song that I was thinking of is Hope is a Dangerous Thing for a Woman Like Me to Have, But I Have It.
That's a tweet. Honey.
It is. I think it's just like fun to watch someone who's like just so detached from reality sometimes and isn't.
Yeah.
I think because like we live in this world, this is, I don't know, grain of salt. Who knows what I'm saying? But we like people are trying so hard to be like likable and like real and shit like that. And Lana is like, I'm not one of you. I'm barely from this planet.
She's actually crazy.
Delusional.
And there's something about delusional people, especially like pop stars, where I'm like, you do that.
Yeah.
I'm here to consume it so I can tap into the delusion, but I can tap out at any point.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It's the Julia Foxification of the celebrity presence.
Truly.
Did you see her interview on Z-Way?
Yes.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was so cringe when she was like, I don't even have any like blonde friends. Did you hear her say that?
Yes.
And I'm like, girl, it's not about you having white friends.
Wasn't she saying, because she was like, have you experienced racism or something like that? And she was like, well, I am Italian. What did she say? She was
I don't know.
It was beautiful, whatever it was.
I can't remember. Also, she was talking about how like Kanye, when like she was dating him, was like, great. And like this turn has been crazy. It's like, and a lot of people online, rightly so, were like, he did say that slavery wasn't bad before you dated him.
Yes.
I don't know.
He has a history of being problematic.
Yeah.
Oh, he's so strange at the moment.
Honestly.
He's very strange.
Something very.
Putting it lightly.
Something is amiss.
There's something off.
Something bad is going to happen to him.
I know.
Something very bad.
It's full on. But it is with the Julia Fox stuff, it's funny because I feel like for a period of time, at least on my TikTok feed, they're like, she's the queen. Like, we love this bitch. Like, Julia Fox coming through. And I was like, this is all going to come falling down.
And
now they're all turning on her. And I'm like, guys, we've got to stop holding people on this like pedestal.
I did listen to this podcast where she was talking about like her living like in this like 2-bedroom apartment with her son and like doing like shared parenting. And there was something like kind of nice and real about that.
Mm-hmm.
And she had a TikTok where she was talking about rich people like paying for their kids to be raised by the nannies, blah, 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 which, you know, is all true. But I feel like she is obviously going through some type of like PR trouble for the Kanye stuff. But also she's somebody who does kind of keep it more real than other people because I don't think she actually has had that like nepotism base or a rise to stardom that came from actual.
Yeah, she seems unfiltered.
Yeah.
Which can be a blessing and a curse in Hollywood.
Mm.
But you at least know that you're getting
what you're getting.
The real shit.
Yeah. What you're getting is what you're getting.
And I think she got that fucking shit deal where you're hugely famous but you're not rich.
Yeah, which, she does.
Yeah.
I think
yeah.
she's writing a book at the moment, which would probably be interesting.
Yeah.
Look, I don't know if I'll buy it, but I'll watch a bunch of TikToks about it. Yeah.
Maybe you'll get gifted it.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm just waiting for a book gift to come through because I need to buy some new books.
But yes.
Books are so expensive now. Yeah. Like $35? What?
Disgusting.
Yeah, we have a family KK and I was like, oh, I'll get like a book and a drink and a something for this amount for this person. And then like I went to the bookstore and I was like, okay, I could get one book.
And that's the whole budget gone. Yeah,
there
it.
We go. Yeah. There's your Christmas.
I love that. Are we up to a pop or flop?
Oh, let's do it.
Huge.
I have unfortunately come with a flop.
Nice.
My flop is Celine Dion being sick.
Oh, oh yeah, flop.
Oh, my God.
Flop.
I know.
So sad.
I feel like I need to see Celine Dion live.
Yeah.
At least like once in my life because it's all coming back to me now.
Oh.
Such a banger.
Taking chances.
Oh, it is a bit of a, so good.
That was like a song I just had on repeat when I was in like year 11 or whatever.
I think she's low-key underrated. I know yes. she's not, but like she kind of is.
She is. And, well, I think because she's written so many like, well, she's sung so many like funny songs like, and like, what are they called? Like songs that are so easy to make jokes about like.
Parody kind of
song?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah, but. It's not a parody, it's real. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. You know,
like My Heart Will Go On and All By Myself. And like,
yeah, a lot of like torch songs, like these
voices once in a lifetime.
Absolutely. You know? And there was a moment she had wearing the Celine Dion jumper by, I think, this brand called Vetements. And it was really funny and ironic of her to wear like a Titanic or like. It had her face on it. And, you know, ever since then, my relationship with Celine Dion was reinvigorated because my mom had a Celine Dion CD that I would like play on repeat and like skips and shit. But she was diagnosed with something I'd never heard before, stiff person syndrome. And she'd had canceled a lot of her shows recently. And it's now kind of been attributed to her diagnosis with this, which is like, a 1 in 80,000 people type of illness.
1 in a million.
One in a million.
There you go.
Also, just and it sounds like it's been a really long journey to even get the diagnosis.
Yeah,
like it must have been so frustrating, being like something's wrong, but we don't know what it is.
And it just sounds scary as like turning into a like statue, basically, like unable to talk, walk, do any kind of. Just have your agency as a person, scary as.
And just also her, I mean, she's so much more than just her voice, but her worth being linked to her voice for so many years, which she kind of referenced in the video, to not be able to sing anymore, like, or at least not be able to sing like she used to.
Would fuck with your identity.
Would fuck with your identity a lot.
It's like the Julie Andrews kind of
issue. Oh, my God, horror show. Like,
what am I now? Princess Diaries 2.
Yeah. I mean, she did fine in the end.
Princess Diaries 3 is coming out. Also, quickly, Celine Dion is like a real diva. Like when she did her Vegas residency, she had apparently a replica of her Toronto apartment or home built in Las Vegas.
Crazy stuff.
Crazy.
Very
bad. And I'm like, I love it.
Yes.
Have you seen that TikTok or that video of some fan singing outside her car to Celine and then Celine just rolls her
window? It's someone from, oh my God, what's the band that Camila Cabello was in?
Oh, Lil Mix.
Lil Mix. No, the other one. Lil Five.
Yeah.
Five Bit.
Five Directions.
Fifth Harmony. Little Five. One of the girls from I always thought it was a random fan, but it's one of the girls from Fifth Harmony singing to it.
Oh my God.
But to like Celine Dion, that might as well just be a random fan.
Well, exactly. Yeah, to us as well.
Oh. So true.
Are you Normani? I don't know you. So wild. Yeah. That's so sad. And I watched it in French too, because I was like, Oui. Tell me your French. I was gonna flop too, but then my flop was just gonna be like being sad. It's a flop. But I think we know that. My pop, I've decided, because I just remembered it then, they're doing another holiday movie. You know, The Holiday?
What?
With Kate Winslet and
Jack Black and all that.
And Jack Black and Jude Law. You've seen it, haven't you?
I don't know.
Is it called The Holiday?
It's The Holiday.
Is it a comedy? Yeah.
And
yes. And it's
Kate Winslet.
Ultimate comfort movie. It's a Christmas movie. But it's Cameron Diaz. And Cameron Diaz. They're doing a second one 16 years later, original cast. Oh. I think that old man is dead. But
Jack Black.
You've got to watch it, Aurelia. You would love it. You would love it.
It's a very sweet film. It's kind of like a swap. It's like two women.
Oh my God. I saw a tweet about this.
Yes. But
where Jude Law said foreplay was overrated in The Holiday. I don't know if I can watch it now.
I just love it. It knows what it is. And everybody, it's so wild to me that all those people were like peak career and they're like, I'm going to do this fun movie. And they just did it and they understood the assignment and they were like, this is great. And I'm actually going to watch it tonight. And it will not be the first time I've watched it this year. It's a Christmas film for any season.
Yeah. That is a nice Christmas film.
Yeah.
Do you guys have anything that you usually do watch around Christmas time?
No, but I wanna. Oh, what's the movie with the bald guy?
Could be any movie.
Oh, Die Hard?
Yeah. I've watched that like I think 2 Christmases.
Yeah, nice.
I still haven't seen it. Maybe this will be the first.
It's fun.
It's actually kind of fun. Yeah.
Bruce Willis is sick too. I mean, it is just, we just have aging celebrities and it's very sad. And flop.
Yeah.
Flop
to that.
Flop aging. So I have a pop this week. I've decided. Did you guys see the Mr. Universe thing?
No, what the fuck is that?
Is this a new pageant for men?
It might be a different title. I feel like it's Mr. Universe or something like that. But I think Mr. Philippines ended up winning and there's this shot of him.
I saw that at the front
of the stage, but Mr. Spain is like full on like salivating, eye fucking Mr. Philippines, like totally into him. And there's all these like multiple shots and different angles and that kind of stuff. Like he's like full on thirsting for this man.
Oh my God.
And everyone's like, get it. And then someone tweeted, not Mr. Spain trying to recolonize Mr. Philippines.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's so wild. I also love hearing that because in my mind I'm like, yes, first name Mr., last name Philippines. Mr. Philippines, Mr. Spain. This way.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's so funny. I love people blatantly trying to fucking get wet.
Yeah. And I just love a pageant.
I know.
I don't know anything about it.
No, I think it is a pageant. And this quickly reminds me of just one last little pop if I can.
Yes.
Because the Miss Universe pageant was sold to a trans woman who's like a Thai millionaire. And the Miss Universe pageant has obviously got this like history of being kind of sexist because it's like just rating women.
Yeah.
Basically. Yeah. And also being like exclusionary. And now I feel like it's going to be a whole new like era of the Miss Universe pageant and giving all women, including trans women, like a chance to compete.
That sounds amazing.
Because it used to be owned by Trump.
Yeah, it was.
Which is so bleak.
Really, it used to be owned by Donald Trump.
Yeah, I haven't looked into the policies or what that is going to mean, but I definitely hope that it makes way for.
Absolutely,
it's change. Big money over there as well.
Yeah,
Miss Universe. If you're listening and you're thinking of entering, I mean, I think you can make so much money doing that shit.
Yeah, one of my fave ASMR artists ended up winning Miss Texas, which I thought was so funny.
Oh my God!
I was like, babe, go for it.
Oh my gosh!
And with these Mr. Universes fucking, hopefully fucking, and then there were also the two Miss Universe
getting married.
So you could also find your love there. So it's a pop for me.
I love it. Anyway, we did it, guys. We can probably do one more before a Chrissy break.
Yeah. We'll have a Christmas app next week.
Okay, great.
And then we'll take a summer hiatus.
A summer hiatus.
Bye, bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
We are going to live our hot girl summer lives.
Yeah. And that's a nice journey for us. I like that.
Yeah.
And stay tuned for some exciting news coming in the new year as well about us and opportunities
yeah,
that you might look, be interested in contributing to live.
Come to our live show next year. If you don't come, you're not a real fan and you will be taken out of my will.
Absolutely. The details are getting finalized, but this is the first sneak peek.
Of all of our podcast money. And there's a lot of it.
Yeah, like, so much.
So much. That's crazy. You could buy half a 7-Eleven Slurpee.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. We all have day jobs for fun.
Bye, friends.
Bye.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and TikTok at PopGaysPod.
And if you like this episode, give us a review on Apple Podcasts.
And don't forget, be gay.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.